No going back. Okay. So first, I want to thank Dave and the leadership for allowing me to come up here this weekend or tonight. I'll say this. Whenever I'm asked to preach, there isn't a hesitation. It's always yes. Why? Because it's a complete honor. And B, I feel that it grows my life spiritually, to try new things spiritually. So if there's any young men, if Dave ever comes up and asks you to preach, don't freak out. Don't run away from him. Just be like, yes. And then after he walks away, then you freak out. No, because it's such an honor. When we preach the word of God, whether it's to one person, as Dave talked about today, or 100 people, it's a blessing. I actually had this sermon already ready. Dave asked me to help fill in at North Highlands when their preacher had a heart attack, but he came back miraculously quickly, so I never got to preach it. Now, I know you already had a sermon last Sunday night from a jewel. And so I thought, what's better than one jewel? That's two. And it's actually been a proud father moment for me these past 2 weekends. So Zane last Sunday night, and I was able to do the communion meditation afterwards. Tonight I am preaching, and Jackson is doing the communion meditation after me. So that's two jewels for the price of one. And that's completely free. And in this time of inflation, anything free is a good thing. But before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this night, Lord. We just thank you for just this church, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come here tonight freely. The freedom that we have to come and to hear your word, Lord, just be with me. Help me remember the things that I prepared. Help me calm my nerves and help me to just remember to stay focused, not only what I wrote, but most importantly on you, Lord. And that's what hearing your word is all about, is just to focus on you. And we are so thankful for every blessing that you've given us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So as for the sermon, I have learned something about myself when it comes to doing lessons. Whether it's for youth group, or if it's for a Wednesday night class, or a sermon. I like to speak things that I'm going through in my own life. So even though I'm speaking to you all tonight, I'm kind of having a myself moment here. This is for me more than you guys. And if anybody happens to benefit from what I say, maybe what I'm going through, because I think one of the biggest misconceptions we have as Christians is that we're going through things alone. We're not. You'd be surprised how many people are going through the same things that you're going through. So for me, it's a way not only to study the Word of God and to help me through the things that I am going through, but also maybe someone else who is going through the same thing and can help them in their own lives. Because so I've been struggling with my prayer life. It's not that I don't pray, because as you just heard, I prayed. I pray every day. But it's been my confidence in my prayers. I struggle with just trying to find the words to say when I pray. So in the last couple of months, I've seen something pretty amazing happen on Wednesday nights that I've never seen before. Not just once, but twice. We spent our entire class time praying. I was just amazed as I sat there and I seen men after men, man after man get up and pray. And it seemed that if it wasn't for the time constraints, it could go on for a really long time. It was a great sight to see, do not get me wrong. But there was one thing missing from both of those prayer nights. It was me. Now, I was there both of those nights. I was sitting in a chair. And in the chair is where I stayed. There was plenty of opportunities for me to get up and to get a microphone, but I was completely lost for words and just lacked the confidence to do so, and I just stayed seated. It wasn't a fear of speaking in front of people, but a fear of sounding fake with my prayers, of empty words and petitions. Now, in my lifetime, I have had some great examples of prayer. I have heard some very godly men speak, from Dave to Rick, George, Gary, but my Grandpa Joe. I remember sitting in church, and as we're being led in a prayer during church service, not only is the guy praying up on stage, I look over and Grandpa Joe is praying himself, his own prayer. What an inspiration. I've heard prayers from great revival preachers like Book and Dean Jackson, Dave Jones, Aaron Davis, and even past preachers like Jerry Weller and Ed Bousman. Great men of God whose prayers are so eloquent and well-spoken, so heartfelt that it sounds like it was written for them. But I bet and I guarantee if I asked any of those men about their prayers and what their inspiration was for them, they would just say it was what was on their hearts at that time. So what do you do when you're struggling with something in your life? That's right. You search the Word of God. So tonight we're going to look at three biblical examples of great men who are known for their prayer life. The first example we're going to look at is of David, the man after God's own heart. What better example of a person who is rooted in God and, more importantly, in praying to God? A man who prayed to God at every aspect, with every emotion that he went through, and every victory and every defeat in his life. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, here we see the story of David and Goliath. And David here is just getting to his first interaction with Goliath. Now in verse 43, we see Goliath curse David by comparing him to a tiny stick. I don't know, it might shock some of you, but I've never been compared to a tiny stick. But I will say I've never called anybody a tiny stick also, so I guess I got that going for me. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was David, this would be the point when I see this giant man in front of me cursing me, calling me a tiny stick, that I would say a quick prayer. I can't tell you how many times that I've gone through something in my life, a great obstacle, and you just, okay, God, like, say a quick prayer, say a quick prayer. When I was getting married to Nicole, I said, Lord, help me not to pass out. When my kids were born, I asked the Lord, Lord, please do not let me mess these kids up too much. Don't look over there. Now, at my age, today I look at a set of stairs and I said, Lord, please help me with this challenge that is before me. Let's see what David said back to Goliath after he called him a tiny stick in verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the host, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with spear, sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Now, we don't actually see David say a prayer here, but look at what he said. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. It's hard for me to believe that David didn't say a prayer before he went out into that battlefield, as he was grabbing those stones to put into his sling. Don't tell me he didn't say a prayer. He knew who was in charge here. He knew who was going to bring him through this battle. That was God. I believe this because how else could David have had so much courage to look at this seemingly impossible obstacle that is in front of him with so much bravery and so much confidence and say that God will deliver you into my hand and I'm going to come. I don't know if any of you had bullies before, but it takes a lot of courage to stand up to a bully. And this is probably one of the biggest bullies of all. Again, I've never had a lot of people that are bigger than me, so I've never had that problem. But there are other bullies. I think we all have our own Goliaths that we face, that we tend to look at and be afraid of and scared. But through prayer, man, what confidence you can have that this little boy named David can have this much courage in front of a giant. Do we ever get strength from a prayer before we pray before a great trial or obstacle in our lives? I can tell you there hasn't been a time that I haven't been up on this stage with an opening or a meditation or tonight that I haven't prayed like crazy beforehand for strength. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 18. In this chapter, we see a prayer or a song of David to God. Now, I will not read the whole chapter, but I encourage you to read this, one of many prayers of David to God. We'll start in verse 1. I love you, Lord. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompass me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. And let's jump down to verse 49. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. We see that David here is praying to God for thanking him for bringing him out of the hand of his enemies and from Saul. This is a prayer of thankfulness. For me, I tend to forget to thank God when I've been through a trial in my life. I get so caught up in the joy or the relief of getting through something that I forget to thank the one who got me through it. Now, don't get me wrong. I will say, oh, thank you, God, right afterwards, but I positive God deserves way more than just a quick thank you from us. I look at it as the equivalent of when you have to tell your kids when they're little to, if somebody gives them something, to say thank you, and your kids are like, thank you. God deserves way more than that. On Thursday night with the goose chase, one of the things I made sure we did when we left every house, I had the youth group, when the group that was with me, what do we say? They did it pretty cheeringly, you know. Mind you, they had cookies and snacks at every single house we went to, so they were really excited about that. So they were more willing to say thank you than ever before. Thanking God should be the first thing we think about after he has done something for us or has brought us out of an obstacle or either whether it's physical or spiritual in our spiritual lives. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms chapter 51. Here we see another prayer of David, but this isn't a prayer that brings me a good feeling. Why? Because unfortunately it hits too close to home. That is a prayer of forgiveness. We'll start in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Sounds like it should be a song. David here has just been called out by the prophet Nathan of his sin with Bathsheba and the ripple effect that sin caused. Now, we all sin and fall short, unfortunately, and we all have to ask for forgiveness. But it's still such a hard prayer to pray. When we realize we have sinned, God already knows what we did, and way before we ask for forgiveness. We don't enjoy praying this prayer because it makes us come to the realization of what we've done. Why do you think it's so difficult for some people to decide to become a Christian? Because it makes them look deep within themselves and realize that they've been living in sin and they need to change. We have to repent of our sins, Christians. And God wants us to tell him what we have done, even though he already knows. It's a way for us to show him our love and our reverence for him, but also for instruction and wisdom for us not to sin in that way again. Now, it just can't be a blanket prayer for all of our sins. We have to be specific. The only way to solve the problem of sin is to first realize the root of it, so we can remember that the next time that temptation comes. Now, as parents, even though we know our kids have done something wrong, it's one of those moments in life when when our kids come to us before we say anything to them and apologize for what they did and tell us what they did. We remember those times because it's a sign of maturity. It's a sign of reverence. It's a sign that they truly believe that they did something wrong and they need to tell us for it. God expects the same out of us. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We can't live in our shame. We can't live in the past, or as the saying goes, we will be doomed to repeat it. A clean heart is a healthy heart, and there isn't a doctor alive that won't tell you that. It is also a goal that every Christian should have. Now, the next example we will look at is that of Daniel. So turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. Here we see that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and that troubled him, and he wanted his dream to be interpreted. He sought out all the wise men that are in his kingdom to see if they had any answers for him, and all of them simply said no. They said, no one on earth can give you what you ask for. So as you can imagine, the king was not happy, as most kings aren't. So in true king fashion, if you cannot help me, what good are you? And now I will kill you all. Daniel and his companions were wise men, and they were on the list. So Daniel and his friends prayed to God for the wisdom of the dreams, and God showed the mystery to Daniel in a dream. After this, Daniel prayed, starting with verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in his darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Daniel here is basically praying to God a prayer of thanks for answering his prayers. Do we do the same when our prayers are answered? Or do we say, what took so long? Do we sometimes look at prayer like a vending machine? We put in our money, we punch the numbers, and what do we expect? The same thing that we put in, right? But what happens when we don't see anything happen? I have seen some very calm individuals freak out when a vending machine doesn't work when they want it to work. I have seen the smallest of people almost pick up a vending machine and throw it across the room. They will shake it, and they will kick it, and they will just plead and beg, why aren't you giving me my Snickers bar? I will not say that that came from a life experience, but it may have happened. We start hitting and we start shaking that machine like it did something wrong to us, or it just wronged us in any way, or like it owes us money, which it does. And it deserves every bit of punishment that I'm giving it. Or have you ever had the machine give you something completely different than what you asked for? Picture this, you are starving. And all you want, you are starving, George, starving. You haven't ate since breakfast. And all you want is a bag of processed cheese, nacho cheese Doritos. Yeah. You push the button, and out pops Cool Ranch Doritos. Cool Ranch? That's basically like giving me a bag of garbage. I wanted nacho cheese. The truth is, God is not a vending machine. We cannot just expect exactly what we ask for because we ask God to give it to us. Prayer is not just a request, but it's a request with someone we should have a deep relationship with. Do you think Daniel would have had his prayer answered if that was the first time, or if he didn't have a relationship with God? No. Then, church, why do we expect the same thing? And we see later that Daniel's prayer life only strengthened. Turn, if you will, to Daniel chapter 6. One of my favorite stories growing up as a kid, Daniel in the lion's den. Now, people were jealous of Daniel. The other leaders were jealous of Daniel. And they decided to trick the king into signing the law that people could only pray to the king, or that, and if not, and the king and or be put to death. Let's read verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. The moment Daniel found out about the law, what was the first thing he did? Did he run? Did he hide? Did he go into a closet? No. Did he start praying to the king to make sure that he wouldn't get killed? No. Daniel did as what the verse says, as he had always done previously. He prayed to God. Is God our first option when trials come our way? Or as humans, do we try to solve it ourselves and just make things worse? The truth, unfortunately, is the latter. Daniel knew this. God is not just our first option, but our only option. God is not a fallback when we can't figure things out ourselves. Even in the face of death itself, God is our only option. Daniel did not go into a closet and pray that no one would see him. Daniel opened his window and basically said, "Hey, world, look what I'm doing." What an example of faith. I know we're sometimes afraid to pray in a restaurant because we don't want people looking at us weird. But Daniel was faced with death, and he didn't waver. Daniel knew that even though he may be thrown into a lion's den, which he was, it wouldn't stop him from praying to God. And what did Daniel get for his faith? Verse 23. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. No harm had come to Daniel even after he had a sleepover with a bunch of lions. The prayer might be to keep us out of the lion's den, but God answers us by getting us out of when it happens. Daniel knew this, and we should too. God should be a preemptive thing. I think it was George that brought up about the Psalms 23. God doesn't say we won't go through the valley of death. He'll get us through it. Now, the last example we're going to look at tonight is the best example that I found, and that is of Jesus Christ. Who better to show us the importance of prayer than the Son of God himself? There are 25 examples of Jesus praying in the New Testament, but I am positive that he prayed way more than that, because Jesus wanted us to know, and all of us to know, how important it is to talk to our Father in heaven. From early on in his ministry, we see of Jesus praying at important times of his life. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 3, starting with verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." From the moment of his baptism, Jesus was praying. And how did God respond? "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Now, if you will, think back to when you were baptized. I know for me, when I came out of the water, after Tommy had dunked me down, and I was getting dried off, and I went into the back to get dressed again, this feeling came over me just of, I think you, those who are Christians know, it's just pure joy. And I did. I literally just sat down and I just prayed to God, not only for him to use me in my service, in my upcoming Christian life, but for me to be a great example as well. We are all children of God. And even though in this verse he is saying this of Jesus, God is pleased when we obey him. Speaking from a father's point of view, how can you not be proud when your children do something good? I told both of my boys when they were baptized that I, whatever great things that they accomplish in their lives, I will never be more proud of you than I am right now. I said this because I wanted them to know that this was the most important decision that they will ever make. God did the same when he said of what he was pleased with his son. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 17. Set the scene here. Jesus is in the garden just hours before he will be arrested and tried and crucified. Jesus went by himself, as he did often, to pray to God. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying by yourself with anyone around, without anyone around. That's when I feel the closest with God, when I block out all the distractions and it's just me and God. Jesus knew this because he was always being pulled in one way or another in his life. People always were trying to get to him. It exhausted him, and in this is a way for him not only to strengthen his physical body, but it's also his spiritual body. Starting with verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Jesus knows his time on earth is almost over, and he is about to face the greatest test of his life. And all he is simply asking of God, that God's glory be shown through it all. At the end of our lives, I am sure that we would just want to know the same thing. That we made something of our lives, that we were an example, that we left a legacy. But this prayer wasn't just about himself. No, Jesus spent the rest of his prayer praying for others. Going down to verse 9. "I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they be me one, that they may be one, even as we are one. Even in the face of death, hours before his death, Jesus thought of others. That was the essence of his time here on earth, was to serve others. To put others first and not yourself, is that what the true love of God will be shown? Jesus knew the weight of the situation before him. He even asked God to take it from him. But he also knew that he had to take the sin of the whole world so that we could have a chance to be with him eternal in heaven. Even when he was on the cross, he asked God to forgive those who did this to him. Is there a better example than that to teach us how to be? He set the standard of perfection, and he doesn't even expect us to be perfect. He knows we will mess up, and he prayed for us anyway. More importantly, he died for us anyways. I'm going to read something that I found about praying to God that really hit home with me. It says, I asked God to take my addiction away. God said, no. It is not for me to take away, but for you to give up. I asked God to grant me patience. God said, no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulations. It is granted. It isn't granted. It is earned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said, no. I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you. I asked God to spare me pain. God said, no. Suffering separate you from the worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said, no. You must grow on your own, but I will prune you and make you fruitful. I asked for all the things in life to enjoy. God said, no. I gave you life so that you may enjoy all things. Then I asked God to help me love others as much as he loves me. God said, finally, you get the idea. So tonight we've looked at three examples of prayer lives, men in the Bible. All of these examples showing us how they use the power of prayer in their lives. But I have sort of a bombshell for you. Even with all the studying that I did and these examples, it did not improve my prayer life. You didn't expect an M. Night Shyamalan type twist there, did you? Let me explain. Before you start wondering why I just spent this whole time preaching when it did me no good. My prayer life didn't improve because I came to this conclusion. I am not David. I am not Daniel. And I am certainly not Jesus. The things that happened in their lives and the ups and downs that they went through are not the same that I will go through. God doesn't want me to pray somebody else's prayer because his relationship with me is with me and my needs, not someone else's. God made each of us beautifully, uniquely, full of all the complexities that each of us have. I can't pray like Dave. I can't pray like Rick. I can't pray like David. I can't pray like Daniel. I can only be me. God made me unique, and our prayer lives are unique also. So what if I can't sound as good as these guys? God doesn't care. God knows what's in my heart. He knows what I'm trying to say, and that's the only thing that should matter. If I want my prayer life to improve, I have to put in the work. If I want to know more about the Word of God, I have to open it. I have to study it. If I want my prayer life to improve, I have to pray all the time with more passion and more love and more than I ever had in my entire life. It doesn't matter if you feel ashamed when you're praying to God. We have a reverence for God. we should. But there wasn't a more perfect example than when Josh, I think it was right before class separated, he asked for extra prayer requests, and the little boy in the back, his kitty ran away 2 years ago. You want to see a true prayer? Go over to the YAP program on Wednesday nights. They feel every single word that they say. And half the time, I don't think they know what they're saying. But man, it sounds like it is just, they want nothing more in life than for what they're praying for. We should do the same. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up as I close this out. I'm going to end tonight by reading the chorus to a song I heard by Matthew West. And it's funny, the last three times that I've left church, which was, I think, Wednesday night, last Sunday night, and last Sunday morning, as soon as I turned on the car, this song came on. And I just kind of looked, and I kind of put my head down. I'm like, I get it, God. I get it. I hear you. So the song is Don't Stop Praying. I'm just going to read you the chorus before I close out. It says, don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing, because mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every word you are saying. So don't stop praying.
Thank you very much for that, Ryan.